Let me do this. Let me dismiss anybody sixth grade and under. If you want to go to junior church, if you want to stay in here, that's fine. But if you'd like to go to, unless you're my kids, you got to go to junior church. Go ahead.
We should all be muted.
Okay. I forgot my stand back here. Need something to preach from. All right, we love, can you hear me, guys? We're dead. All right. How about that? There we go. Can you hear me now? Good. All right. As I said, if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. Our pastor is out of town, so you're stuck with me. But I'm going to try to not keep you too long. It's good to have my aunt and uncle here, Pam and Gary Wilkes. They're visiting us with us from way down south in Taylor, Michigan. But we're thankful. So my mom and Marcia's sister, Pam, and her husband, Gary. So I'm thankful to have him here. A lot of times when Brother Michael would be gone preaching, he was preaching at their church a lot when their pastor was gone. So we're thankful to have him here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to be looking at today. My mom and Marcia and Pam, they had a brother. His name was Gilmer Humphreys. He died in Vietnam, was killed in combat in Vietnam. And that's what tomorrow is all about. We celebrate those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. This morning, of course, we want to do that, but we also want to not lose sight of the fact that today's the Lord's Day. And we're going to look at his word. We're going to look at what it is, the marks of a good soldier. We want to look at the marks of a good soldier. Let me do this before we get into that. If you're here today and you served our country, you served in one of the armed forces, would you stand for us, please? If you served in one of the armed forces. Thank you. If you're here today and you lost a close family member serving our country, would you stand for us, please? We owe it to you. We owe it to you to be grateful. We're grateful to our Lord for this country. We're grateful for what he has given us, but we're thankful to you who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that is to lose somebody very, very close to you to keep our freedom. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we're gonna study this, but we're going to look at the marks of a good soldier, the marks of a good soldier. And I will try not to be too long this morning. I know we wanted to give them as much time as we could to sing, but we also want to make sure that we look at God's Word. If you would stand with me, as our tradition here, our custom to stand as we read God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in chapter 4. Let's go back to chapter 2. We're going to chapter 4 later. Is that this isn't going with my sermon. I don't know what somebody... Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, and he that may that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those that have served our country. Lord, I thank you for those who have not only served our country, but have served you faithfully over the years. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. General George S. Patton said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." I thought about that quote, and I thought, yeah, that's absolutely true. What good does it do to mourn somebody who's gone, but what we should do is thank God that they were put here on this earth. I'm thankful for an uncle that I never knew that gave his life for our country. I'm thankful for those of you who stood up and said you had lost a family member serving our country. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that God put them on this earth. But this morning, I want to look at a good soldier of Christ. We would no doubt say that those that have served our country, those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country, they were good soldiers of the United States of America. Many of you in here, you served our nation and you were good soldiers or are good soldiers of our nation. But the good soldier of Christ, there are certain marks that I believe Paul lays out here for Timothy of those that would be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Number one, I want to go through this quickly. Number one, he is empowered by Christ. The good soldier is empowered by Christ. I'm preaching this morning from a Bible that belonged to my grandfather. This is a small Bible. It says Gilbert Clark on the front. That was my dad's dad. And it's falling apart. So and when I had studied the book, the Bible I was studying from, everything was on the right side. That's why I was in chapter 4 instead of chapter 2. But I wanted to preach from a Bible that was from somebody who is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And my grandfather was a good soldier. He was a deacon in the church. My other grandfather was also a deacon. You know you're in trouble when a preacher brings three Bibles up to preach. This Bible here was from my great-grandfather on my mom's side, Gilmer. This was the one who passed away in Vietnam as his grandfather. It's in really, really rough shape. I keep it in a plastic bag most of the time. But that was, he was born in 1894. This Bible is a Bible I mostly use for studying now, and this was a gift from Zandra and Mike Dunlop, and this was Zandra's dad's Bible. And he was also a preacher of the gospel for many, many years. Another good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this is a very, very nice, expensive Bible that she gave me, and I use it for studying often. But this morning, I wanted to preach from a Bible of somebody who is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word in verse number one, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong and in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." The word strong does not just mean able to lift things up and put things down, you know. We see commercials about these big, strong guys, and that's not what he's saying. But the word strong means to be empowered. Now, to be empowered means that somebody in authority over you has given you authority to carry out the mission. In our military, we use the same principle. Someone who is empowered has authority from someone higher. So a private in the U.S. Army is given instruction by his superior, maybe a corporal or a sergeant, and they are empowered to do so by their superiors all the way up to the general of the army who is empowered from the United States president, the president of the United States. And so a soldier carries out his duties because he has been empowered with those, with that authority from his superior. Listen, good soldiers don't operate with a sense of entitlement. They operate with a sense of empowerment. And yet we live in a day where people feel so entitled. And we've created that as a nation, an entitlement mentality. But a soldier does not operate with that mentality. And you soldiers that are here, those of you who have served our military, would agree with me 100%. And that is that there is no sense of entitlement in the military, but there's a sense of empowerment. When we serve God, we have to serve with a sense of empowerment. The idea behind this is also true in our military. In the book Extreme Ownership, written by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, if you haven't read that book, it's a great book. Brother Brian's read it. Brother Andrew's read it. It's a book about leadership. And in that book, they're speaking of decentralized command, which would mean instead of having every decision come back to the central command, there was different authority given out. So it would be empowerment. And they said this: decentralized command does not mean junior leaders or team members operate in their own program. That results in chaos. And so a good soldier is empowered by Christ Jesus to carry out the mission of Christ Jesus. A good soldier of Jesus Christ does not take and do what they want to do. They take and they do what they've been empowered to do. And so we have a responsibility. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "You're empowered by the grace of Jesus Christ." This is undeserved. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. So the grace of Jesus Christ that empowers us is undeserved divine influence of God, and we serve at his pleasure. Who gives us the authority to be bold in the service for the Lord? God does. And every soldier of Jesus Christ has the authority, and might I add, we have the responsibility to serve Jesus Christ. If somebody in the army goes AWOL, absent without leave, and they go AWOL, they're going to go find them and they're going to come back and get them because they have not only a right, but they have a responsibility to serve their country, and they serve at the pleasure of the superiors. So he is entrusted with the message, number two. He's entrusted with the message. The good soldier is trustworthy. Verse number two, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who also, who shall be able to teach others also. I really should have picked a bigger Bible to preach from. A good soldier is trustworthy. Certain messages in the military must be passed down, and they must be passed down from one trustworthy person to another trustworthy person to another trustworthy person, because when that doesn't happen and it goes to somebody who's not trustworthy, we have problems. We have traitors. We have treason. And so the message must be passed down through the ranks, and it must be passed down accurately. A good soldier also takes his responsibility to pass the message on accurately. Think about this. Where would our churches be today if we didn't have good soldiers of Jesus Christ that were continuing the process of preaching and sharing the gospel? And that doesn't just fall on the preacher, but it falls on all of us. We're all to be good soldiers that will pass on the message accurately. Yes, I know that we have the Word of God, and it should always be compared to that, but where would we be today without preachers and without teachers, Sunday school teachers, Awana teachers, junior church teachers? Where would we be without them passing down the message faithfully and accurately? Some 2,000 years ago, Paul passed that teaching on to Timothy, and Timothy was to teach others also, who could then also teach others. And for 2,000 years, it's been going on and on and on. Where would we be without that? We would be, as many churches have gone, to a watered-down gospel. Are we like all other Baptist churches? Do we function like all other Baptist churches? No, some really good churches would never have the Ball Brothers in, just because they're ugly. We always, whenever we see the Ball Brothers, we always think Brian should replace Chad, because Chad's just too short to be in the Ball Brothers, but that's got nothing to do with that. Let me go back to my notes. That's Brian right there. If you're visiting with us with the glasses, that's Brian. So, in the book Extreme Ownership, this Navy SEALs also wrote this. They said, how a junior leader is brought up depended entirely on the strength, experience, and patience of a guiding mentor. What do we need in our churches? We need people, we need good soldiers who are not only going to go fight the battle, but are going to train the soldiers after them. Yesterday we were in the hospital, and we were visiting with Dylan's mom, and there was a nurse in there, and there's two nurses in there, and they were in there the whole time. And I said to him after about 35, 45 minutes, I said, you guys haven't left the whole time. And he said, no, at Children's Hospital, in this ICU unit, there's one patient per nurse. And that nurse, by the way, was training another nurse, and so we had two nurses in there the whole time. And I thought about that. That's what a good soldier does. Not only does a good soldier do a good job, but he trains others to come after him. Because we won't always be around. Somebody else has to pick up the mantle and has to go. The message of the gospel is not to be hidden or kept for ourselves. It is to be handled carefully and with accuracy. Not to be hidden, but it's to be handled. The Word of God, I love this Bible. I love that my brother loaned this to me, but I love this because it's worn out. And I know it's worn out partially because it's old, but it's worn out because it was used and it was handled. I have a couple of Bibles that, you know, I paid a lot of money for them or whatever, and I keep them in a case, and I want to keep them perfect. And if you know me, I don't like the little corners bent. Some of your Bibles are twice as thick at the corners because of all the bent over. I don't like that. But your Bible should be used. It should be worn out. We're to handle the Word of God, not to hide the Word of God. Yes, the Bible does tell us to hide His Word in our hearts, but that doesn't mean to keep it in there so nobody else knows it. It's to keep it and keep it, hold it dear inside of our hearts. So the good soldier is entrusted, but he has endurance for the hardships. In verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The good soldier serves in war, but a lot of you served our nation, but you didn't serve in war, and we thank God for that. We're thankful that you didn't have to go to Iraq or Afghanistan or to Vietnam or to Korea or to World War I or World War II. We're thankful that you didn't have to go. But for the good soldier of Jesus Christ, the war never ends. It will always go. As long as we're on this earth, we will be in a war. And the good soldier will endure hardships that will come. War is tough, physically, mentally. Many soldiers have come back from war. They've been crippled. They've been debilitated by physical wounds. We talked in Sunday school this morning even about mental issues that they deal with because of what happened over in war. And you know, the same is true for the believer in Christ and for the good soldier of Christ. Jesus never said it would be easy, but to endure hardness means that he will give you the strength and he'll give you the grace that you need to continue through those traumatic experiences and the trouble that you face. It doesn't say that there won't be lasting effects. Many of you have been, maybe never served a country in battle, but you've been faithful to the Lord for many years and you have suffered through things as a believer that maybe some of us haven't. But we must endure the hardships, and he'll give us the endurance to go through it. Number four, he is not entangled by distractions. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He's not entangled by distractions. No man warreth. The word warreth means to execute his duties. No man executes his duties, and he gets entangled with the affairs. The word affairs would be transactions of this life, and that's this physical existence. So no man that takes on this battle, no man that is fighting with great power or with executing his duties, no man that executes his duties gets entangled with the things of this world. And listen, we're fighting against principalities and powers. We're fighting against the evils of darkness. And there is no time or energy to be expended on trivial matters of this world. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to a young preacher. And a lot of times I think that we, as believers, we say, well, he's talking to a preacher, and so that really applies to a preacher, not to get entangled with the things of this world. No, he says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, be the only good soldier, or as a preacher, be a good soldier. But listen, we are all to be good soldiers, and that is to not allow the things of this life to entangle us. I'm encouraged you're here, by the way, because this is Memorial Day weekend. It's a perfect opportunity to tell your pastor that you're going out of town, and you don't, we won't be there. We're going to a church somewhere else. But you're here this morning, because it's one of the marks of being a good soldier. Not letting the trivial things of this world get in the way. We must stay focused on the service to our Lord, and anything that prevents us from being totally committed in his service must be removed from our lives. Yesterday at the teen garage sale, I was talking with one of our teens, and we were talking about the call to preach, and I said, and listen, I believe God calls people to preach. I don't believe it's a vocation. It's not something that I chose to do. And you're like, we can tell. It's not something that people decide to do. It's something that God decides for you. That he calls preachers. And I believe that God does that. I believe he calls preachers, and there's other people in this room that God has called to preach. But listen, I told him, I said, listen, if God's calling you to preach, make a good preacher. Be all in. Don't say, well, I want to be a preacher and I told him, I said, you should learn a trade. Learn something that you can, in case you have to be bivocational. You have to make a living and you need to provide for a family, and I get all that. But listen, everything is my schooling, anything I do now, when I read books, I don't like to read anyway, but when I read books, and I've read a lot of books recently, and they're all books about the ministry. Now, that's different. Maybe you're not into that, but I'm into that because I want it to be something that is going to help me to be all in for Christ. To be all in the ministry, to be all in as a preacher. And so we must make anything that becomes a distraction that pulls us away from where we should be with the Lord, we need to get rid of it. Also, in Extreme Ownership, they wrote this, leaders must always operate with the understanding that they are part of something greater than themselves and their own personal interests. That is not only what a good soldier in the U.S. Army or in the U.S. Navy or in the U.S. Marine Corps or the U.S. Air Force, it is what a good soldier of Jesus Christ does. We got to realize that what we're in here is not something that is our interest. It's much, much greater than that. Now, God, I believe that if we delight ourselves also in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And because you delight yourself in the Lord, God gives you desires. That doesn't mean that you had a desire for a Lamborghini, so God's going to give you a Lamborghini because you delighted. But maybe he will, but your delight has changed what your desires are. And our desires are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a great soldier for Jesus Christ. So we're not entangled. We've got to get rid of the things that are keeping us back. When a soldier is distracted, it means certain death or harm for himself and for those that he serves with. Don't let distractions tangle you up. a soldier, as we read through that book, and as I read through the book, and I'm sure these guys read the same things, there's a lot of things where I saw, if a distraction were to come in, it would have compromised the whole mission. One little distraction. And the problem with me is sometimes distractions come in my life and it compromises the whole mission. And I fail because I allowed something to come in. So what about a good soldier? Are you a good soldier? This message was delivered to Timothy from a good old soldier named Paul. He had served many years in this spiritual warfare. And we can look at all his life and we can see that all four of these marks of a good soldier were true in his life. And scholars believe that this second epistle to Timothy was the last thing that Paul wrote. Paul was imprisoned. We know that from what he wrote. He was imprisoned under Emperor Nero. And when he was imprisoned, he writes this letter. And it's kind of his final will and testament. We don't know if he wrote anything after that, but nothing in the canon of Scripture did he write after that. In verse 6 of chapter 4, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." What does a good soldier mean by, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand"? He said that he was ready to be offered. The word offered, we think of offering sacrifices. Well, that's exactly what he means. He's going to be offered as a sacrifice. In other words, Nero was not going to take his life against his will. He was offering his life as a sacrifice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. No doubt Paul could have rescinded his claim of the gospel and he could have changed what he had stood for about the gospel. And maybe he would have survived, but Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered." Listen, a believer that deals in war and loses a battle here and there, that Christian is not wounded by the enemy. He's offering himself for a sacrifice. Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered." He said, "The time of my departure is at hand." The word departure means that it was a freeing event. It was something that was going to be, he was going to be freed from what he was dealing with. He wasn't saying that, "Well, I'm going to go and somebody's making this happen to me." You know, many people die every day lost without Jesus Christ. And they die lost in their sin. And no matter how good of a person they are, no matter how good of a person you are, when you die without Christ, we're just not good enough. We can never be good enough. When the good soldier of Jesus Christ dies, he's not facing the end and execution, but he is facing a release from service and experiencing freedom for the first time. Many people that went to war, went to battle, went across in wars, and they came back. And listen, they were citizens of a free nation. But they didn't have freedom. They didn't experience the freedom on the battlefield. They experienced the freedom when they came home. When they departed that nation and they came back home, then they experienced the freedom. The believer in Jesus Christ does not experience of freedom, the true freedom, of freedom from war, freedom from pain, freedom from evil. We don't experience that until we get to heaven. We're freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're freed to live a life in Jesus Christ. We're freed to live that way, but we won't experience it until we're gone. So what Paul is saying is, the time of my departure, the time of my freedom is at hand. When I read that, I think Paul is talking about how he's going to die. This is a sad situation. But just as General Patton said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." Memorial Day, we're not here to mourn the loss of those that have died. And listen, here on Sunday morning, here the day before Memorial Day, we're not here to mourn the loss of those that have died. We're not here to mourn for my grandfather or my great-grandfathers. We're not here to mourn for Zandra's father. We're here to rejoice that they lived. And there are people in this room that someday we're going to rejoice that you lived because you're a good soldier. You might say, "Well, I wish I could be a good soldier." You can be. If you're here this morning and you served our country, from the bottom of my heart, and I mean this with as much sincerity as I know how to, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you did for us. Because maybe you didn't pay the ultimate sacrifice, but you were willing to. And God spared you. Thank you. However, there's something else. Your service to our country will never reserve you a spot in heaven. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ can do that. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus tells him, he tells his disciples, they said, Lord, we don't know where you're going or how to get there. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if you're not saved and you served our country, we will continue to thank you for that. We will continue to be indebted to you for your service to our countries, to our country. You will continue to receive accolades, well-deserved. You will continue to be thanked, and it's well-deserved. But the joy and fulfillment that come with human praise and human thanks will always fade away. But to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the joy, the fulfillment of that never fades away. I encourage you, if you're here this morning and you've served or you haven't served, it doesn't really matter in this fact. You need to be saved, and you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Become a follower of Christ. Being saved is not just about, I said a prayer and I'm going to heaven and I got fire insurance from hell. That's great. That's not what being saved is all about. Being saved is a freedom from the bondage of sin and being able to live a life in Jesus Christ, allowing Him to live through you. We were studying this morning, we have a discipleship group, we meet Sunday mornings, and we're talking about help. How many times do we pray, Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Help me to do this. But the Bible never speaks about Jesus helping us. He speaks about Jesus living through us. Jesus doesn't help us get saved. He saves us. He doesn't help us live the Christian life. We have to submit our lives. We have to become weaker and weaker, not stronger and stronger, and allow Him to live through us. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ, well, how do I become a soldier of Jesus Christ? How do I exhibit those traits? You become weaker and weaker in yourself, and you allow Him to live through you in His strength and in His power. So if you're here this morning and you're saved, but you're not following Christ, you're not a good soldier of Christ, would you submit yourself to Him? Stop trying harder to be a good Christian. It won't work. Stop trying to discipline yourself to being a better Christian. Discipline is great. I love discipline. My kids don't love discipline, but I think it's great, and I think we should discipline ourselves to do things. But listen, that will not make you a better follower of Jesus Christ. We have to just submit ourselves to Him. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I encourage you and I invite you this morning that today would be the day that you see your need for a Savior. Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again the third day for our sins, so that we can have His righteousness on our account. And you can receive that free gift today if you will just put your faith and trust in Him, become a follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Brother Brian and Miss Bonnie are going to come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as we do that, if there's somebody here this morning who says, listen, I just came to hear the Ball Brothers. I don't really know. If you like the Ball Brothers, you've heard the gospel. They always do give it when they sing. Maybe you're here, then you said, I've never really been confronted with a decision. We were studying in Sunday school this morning, Acts chapter 10, and Peter preached a sermon to the Gentiles, and at the end, he brought them to a decision point. And I think it's important that we get to a decision point. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to live through you and be a good soldier of Christ? Or are you going to continue to try to do it on your own? Because you will never exhibit those four qualities of a good soldier, those four marks of a good soldier, if you don't allow Christ to do it in you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, please, I beg you this morning, make today the day that you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Go ahead and stand with me, and we'll sing. What number, Brother Brian?
436.
Hymn number 436.
I gave my life for Thee, my precious blood I shed, that Thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for Thee, what hast Thou given for me? I gave my life for Thee, what hast Thou given for me?
Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your attention. I know you're like, we didn't come to hear you. I know that. That's okay with me. But thank you for being here. Thank you, Andrew, Daniel.